today. So I like interaction. I don't want to talk at you guys all day. I want you guys to give me some feedback. So go ahead and just raise your hand if you think you know what happens when someone lays hands on you. Yeah, what happens? Speech came back for you. That is wild. Okay, cool. Did you have anything to say, Joe? Oh, yeah, that would be great. Yeah. So we've had one person who couldn't talk, and then someone laid hands on him, and then he could talk. That's crazy. Does anybody else have any miracles that came on from the laying on of hands? I had one. I was 14 years old, and I had chronic headaches, which is weird for a 14-year-old kid. I had glasses and everything. It wasn't my vision, and it was probably, like, demonic now that I think about it, because every time I left church or I was driving to church, I had, like, severe migraines. It was for a long time. And it was actually at a Rock Solid Faith class, and Pastor was like, you know what, we're going to do healing tonight. And I was like, okay. I didn't really know much about the healing power of God or anything, but I just stood up here, and I was sitting here still with this massive migraine, and I said in my head, and I was like, honestly, it was probably like right around that day. Sometimes I get pressure headaches if it's like the weather or something, like right before a storm, but it's not like a headache like that. So praise God, I am still healed and alive and well. So this principle has been lost in most churches, is what the notes here say. Most people believe this is for the pastor, the evangelist, or some special guest that visits the church. The truth is that this is for every single believer. The wisdom of the devil and the foolishness of the preachers have enabled local churches to be powerless. Believers are seen more as pew sitters than men and women of war in the army of the Lord. Most believers do not even understand the basic principle of how to release anointing. So there's our answer. When we lay hands on people for whatever reason, we're releasing the anointing. And just as the notes say, one of the plots of the enemy is to convince all of you guys and me as well, is that the laying out of hands and the release of the anointing and seeing miracles is only for the person with the microphone. And that's not true at all. The Great Commission, when Jesus was speaking to his disciples, he was speaking to every single one of us. And he said, go out into the world, preach the gospel, get people saved, lay your hands on the sick, and you will see them recover. So he didn't say only pastors can lay their hands on the sick and see them recover. Only pastors can lay their hands on people and see demon-possessed people set free. No, he said all of us. So before we even get any further in this chapter, I want everybody in this room to recognize that the laying on of hands and seeing that miracle working power and being a vessel for God to use us in that way is not only for people with a title, it's for every single one of us. Isn't that awesome? I love that. That's crazy. Okay, so Isaiah 10:27 says, it shall come to pass in that day that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. So point two here says the anointing is the energy or power that comes from the Holy Spirit to do supernatural works. This enables normal man, you and me, to do work on behalf of the supernatural God. So a lot of people use the churchy word anointing. Oh, that person is so anointed, and I felt the anointing in service and whatever. But what does that really even mean? Is that just something churchy that we say, or does it actually mean something? It does. The anointing is that energy or the power that comes from the Holy Spirit to do supernatural works. In other words, you cannot separate the anointing from the Holy Spirit, right? If you don't have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you, you don't have the anointing. And if you're not anointing, that means you're not working with the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Spirit is not working with you. Does that make sense? Okay, so the anointing is the power and the energy that comes from the Holy Spirit that moves through us to touch and affect other people. It's what God uses to do his work through us. He not only tells us what to do, but he also gives us the ability, the energy, the supernatural ability to accomplish heavenly tasks. He not only calls us, he equips us. Raise your hand if you've ever had a boss that has given you a job but has not told you how to done it and hasn't given you the resources to do it. I see hands. Yes. Is that not frustrating or what? But thank God he is not like that. He tells us what the end goal is, which is to go out and make disciples, see people healed and raised from the dead. But he also gives us the Bible, the manual of how to live our lives and to make sure that we stay holy and saved so that the Holy Spirit can live on the inside of us. And he's the one doing all the work. We don't have to pump ourselves up and then do it ourselves. We can't heal anybody. We can't raise people from the dead. We do not have that power, but it's God working through us. So long as we have the Holy Spirit and we're saved, that's how God wants to use us on this earth. Zechariah 4:6 says, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel." That's crazy. "Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts." So nothing eternal can be accomplished outside of the anointing, which means that when we're working in our human efforts, then we're not accomplishing things for the kingdom. If I was up here leading worship for myself, or even doing it for you, or to do it to please the pastor, I wouldn't be accomplishing anything eternal. But every single Sunday, I have to make sure that my mind is set on, Holy Spirit, what is going to please you today? What kind of worship do you want your children to be hearing today? How are we going to please your heart with our worship today? That's going to make an eternal impact, and that's what I'm anointed to do. I'm anointed to lead worship. But if I'm doing it in my flesh or in my own power or relying on my own music ability, then I don't get to give any credit to the kingdom or God working through me. So we don't want to work in our flesh. We want to make sure that we work in the anointing. So it says, Old Testament saints. So in the Old Testament, not everybody was anointed. We are living in the New Covenant where everybody can be anointed and everybody can be used by the Holy Spirit, but it wasn't like that in the Old Testament. So the first people that were anointed were kings. In 1 Samuel 15:1, it says, "So Samuel also said to Saul, 'The Lord sent me to anoint you over his people, over Israel. Now therefore, heed the voice of the words of the Lord.'" So we have kings. Priests are another one. Exodus 40:13 says, "You shall put the holy garments on Aaron and anoint him and consecrate him, that he may minister to me as a priest." Prophets were also anointed. So we have kings, priests, and prophets. 2 Kings 2:9-14 says, "And so it was when they had crossed over that Elijah said to Elisha, 'Ask, what may I do for you before I'm taken away from you?' Elisha said, 'Please let me have a double portion of your spirit upon me.' So he said, 'You have asked a hard thing.'" Why was it hard? Because it's like, I can't give you twice as much of what I have. It's like if I only have one pizza, I can't give you two pizzas. You know what I mean? So he asked me of a double portion of his spirit. It's like, you've asked me a hard thing to do. He said, "Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so for you." So if you see me when I'm taken, then you'll have a double portion. But if not, it shall not be so. Then it happened as they continued on and talked that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. Then Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. I think he saw him leave. Elisha saw it, and he cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen, blah, 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 blah. So he got a double portion of Elijah's spirit, which the mantle was another type of anointing. The mantle Elijah left back when he was taken up, Elisha, S-H, picked it up, and that was like a double portion of the anointing that Elijah, the prophet, carried. And then the last type is the builders of the tabernacle. So we have kings, priests, prophets, and the builders of the tabernacle that were all anointed and used by God in that way in the Old Testament. Exodus 31:15 says, "The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'See, I have called by name Bezalel, son of Uri, son of Hur of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the spirit of God in wisdom and understanding and knowledge and all in all manner of workmanship, to design artist works, to work in gold, in silver, and bronze, in cutting jewels for setting, in carved wood, and to work in all manner of workmanship." So he anointed this guy, he filled him with the spirit of God, and he was anointed in wisdom and in artistic works. You guys know Miss Carolyn Jackson. She can paint and build things and stuff. She's anointed to do this kind of stuff. The anointing did not abide inside any of these groups of people except for the builders of the tabernacle. The kings, the priests, and the prophets all had the anointing come upon them, but the anointing did not abide in them. So just like you can't separate the anointing and the Holy Spirit typically did not live on the inside of people in the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit came upon them, and so did the anointing, but it didn't live on the inside of many people. The notes say only the builders of the tabernacle. It was when it actually worked on the inside of them. So Judges 15:14 says, when he came to Lehi, I'm so sorry, Pastor, the Philistines came shouting against him. Then the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the robes that were on his arms became like flax that is burned with fire, and his bonds broke and loosed from his hands. The anointing is tangible. What does tangible mean? Yeah, you can touch it and you can feel it. It's malleable. It means touchable or transferable. The anointing was so strong in the prophet Elisha's bones that raised a dead man. So 2 Kings 13:20-21 says, then Elisha died and they buried him, and the raiding bands from Moab invaded the land in the spring year. So it was as they were burying a man that suddenly they spied a band of raiders, and they put the man in the tomb of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood on his feet. So Elisha was so anointed that even his bones, when they touched other dead people, they came to life. How crazy is that? So it sounds like that there's no time limit on the anointing either. That if somebody is dead, rotted in the grave, if they are that anointed, they can still affect and change lives and do the work of God. What is amazing for us right now as New Testament believers is that Jesus is a mediator of a new and better covenant with better promises, which is in Hebrews 8:16. So in the Old Testament, the anointing came upon them, but since Jesus died and rose again, the anointing and the Holy Spirit can live on the inside of all of us, which is absolutely amazing. Because of the sacrifice that Jesus made, it's not only for kings and priests and temple workers, it's for every single one of us to be able to see God working through us, which is absolutely amazing. Every single believer is anointed. In 1 John 20:20, it says, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. 1 John 20:27 says, but the anointing which you have received from him who abides in you, the Holy Spirit, and you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. So yes, the anointing and the supernatural power of God is for every single believer today. It's hard to wrap our heads around that, but it really is true. Anybody in here, if the Lord prompts you by your Holy Spirit, anybody in here could go and lay hands on somebody, an unbeliever or not, and see a true miracle happen. Why? It's not so that we can just do something cool. It's because what is the number one thing on God's heart? It's souls, right? So when we're anointed, when we become a believer, we believe that the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us automatically. So when we choose Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes to live on the inside of us. That means we're anointed to do the work of the ministry. And one of the works of the ministry is to go out, see people saved and see them get healed and delivered and watch a spirit of joy come upon them right there and see burdens lifted and all the things that Jesus wants to do, he is going to do through us, through the anointing. So it's really, really, really exciting. Just a side note, there is a difference between the anointing and a gift. So what do you guys think that is? Those are two different things. There's people who are gifted in something and people who are anointed to do something. No? So let's refer what anointing is. Anointing is the power of the Holy Spirit that allows you to do the work of the ministry, allows you to do his will. A gift is something that you're good at. So there are a lot of R&B singers who can sing circles around me. There's a lot of gospel singers who can sing circles around me. There are a lot of people who are good at a lot of things. But just because you are gifted in an area doesn't mean that you are anointed to do that thing. Does that make sense? You can be talented and still watch a bunch of people walk out of a church service with the same chains that they came in with. So that's a very, very important thing to understand, is that a gift and the anointing are two different things. Just as a side note. So this is talking about Jesus. It was not until he was anointed when the Holy Spirit came upon him that he was able to do supernatural exploits. So when all the people were baptized, this is Luke 3, 21 through 23. When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven, which said, "You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased." Now Jesus himself began his ministry at about the age of 30. So he didn't even do anything supernatural until he was baptized and the Holy Spirit came upon him. And remember, you can't separate the anointing and the Holy Spirit. Jesus declared that the anointing was upon him to do the work of God. In Luke 4:18, he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed." So each and every single one of those that Jesus just said he was anointed to do is what we're also now anointed to do, which is awesome. Jesus did not do miracles because he was the Son of God. He did miracles because he was the Son of Man, anointed by the Holy Spirit. He left all his heavenly glory and came down here to live as a normal man with normal power to show us that through the anointing, we can do everything he did. So, I mean, he could have, as a man, you know, as 12 years old, he probably could have seen signs and miracles and wonders because he is Jesus, but to live as that example, he did no miracles until he was specifically baptized by the Holy Spirit and that anointing was residing in him to be an example to us, like I said. Not from our own ability, but through the energy, anointing, supernatural ability of God who lives inside of us, the Holy Ghost. This is why Jesus said it would be better for him to go away. So do you remember when the disciples were like, "Why do you have to go away?" And he was like, "It's better that I do because the helper is coming. The helper is the Holy Spirit." When Jesus was on the planet, there was only one Jesus. Now that Jesus rose from the dead and is sitting at the right hand of the Father, he sent the Holy Spirit. This is the same Holy Spirit who dwelled inside of Jesus and now dwells inside of us. So it's the same exact Holy Spirit that we were just talking about. The Holy Spirit that lived on the inside of Jesus, and he was going around, he was healing blind people, he was spitting on lepers, he was sticking his fingers in people's ears, and then he would pull them out and people wouldn't have that spirit of deafness anymore. That exact Holy Spirit that he worked with is the same one that lives on the inside of us. So we have the exact same ability, as long as we have the Holy Spirit, we have the same ability to see all of those miracle signs and wonders follow our lives. John 14:12 says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father." I think Pastor specifically says greater works, not like better quality works, like I did a better work than Jesus. No, it wasn't like that. Just greater in number, because there's so many more people with the Holy Spirit living on the inside of them than in the Old Testament. That's what that means. How do you increase the anointing? So this power that lives on the inside of us, that equips us to do the work of the ministry, wherever that may be, it doesn't have to be inside the church either. Whatever your calling is, whatever God has called you to do, maybe you're called to open up a cupcake shop because you love cupcakes and you love baked goods and you love seeing people have a smile on their face when they're eating something great. And God has anointed you to run business well, and he's given you the spirit of wisdom to do that, and he's given you an anointing to bake cupcakes. It doesn't have to be everything up here. It's not only for the people who hold a microphone. Whatever God has called you to do specifically that nobody else can fill and nobody else can do, that is what he has anointed you to do. Amen. That is exciting because not everybody can work on the inside of the church. There are people who have to go out and like witness to lost people. The best way to do that is with the Holy Spirit and with the anointing. So every Christian is anointed but is anointed. But what is even more powerful is when you get corporate anointing. Who thinks they know what corporate anointing is? Pastor has it in his notes. I could just tell you, but I want to hear what you guys say. You back there? I'm kidding. There's nobody. I'm kidding. This is called synergy. So corporate anointing is called synergy. Psalm 133 declares that in corporate anointing is the commanded blessing. The disciples were anointed in the Gospels, but that anointing was the Old Testament principle where the Spirit came upon them. Before Jesus was taken away, he knew they would need more power, so he told them to go to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father. Says nothing about corporate anointing. So corporate anointing is basically, you probably can feel the difference in worship when you're here versus when you're in worship at home. It doesn't have to be any more or less powerful. It can impact us in a lot of different ways. But there is definitely a difference between a corporate anointing and then an anointing when you're just at home working. There was a corporate anointing on the people on the day of Pentecost. You remember that in the chapter X, when like 120 something of them went into the upper room in Pentecost, and all of them were in one mind and one accord, and they were basically just praying and crying out to God for him to do something. They were just waiting up there, but they were all in one accord in one mind, and then bam, the gift of tongues came on them, and that was a corporate anointing. So that's a good example. If you desire to increase the anointing in your life, there are certain things that need to be accomplished. So number one is you have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Is everybody filled with the Holy Spirit in here? Yes. If you're saved, you're filled with the Holy Spirit, which is a good thing. That's the first thing. If you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, if you don't believe in the working of the Holy Spirit, or he doesn't exist, or something else, the word clearly says the anointing is not there either. Acts 1:8 says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Acts 2:4 says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Jesus sent them to the upper room because they needed more power to accomplish the purpose of God, that corporate anointing. And then you can get refilled. So Acts 4:27-31 says, for truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you've anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by the stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, there was a place, the place where they were assembled was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. So speak in tongues all the time. It may be, it may feel weird for you guys to not speak in tongue or to speak in tongues when you're in a place other than church, when everyone else is kind of doing it and you're like, okay, I can jive with this. But speaking in tongues has a lot of spiritual benefits. One of them is that the anointing increases on your life. 1 Corinthians 4:14-2 says, you're speaking in divine secrets. There's a lot of times when you could get before God and you're like, you know what? I don't even know what to pray. Praying in tongues is a beautiful thing. You don't have to know. It's the Spirit praying through you. 1 Corinthians 14:4 says, it encourages yourself and you're building yourself up, it says in Jude 20. When you pray in tongues, you are speaking spirit to spirit. Your focus is on the things above, not on the things below. And then C says, just do it. So you just have to do it. This is funny. Okay, I'm gonna tell you a funny story. Leave the notes. Okay, so last summer, me and some of my friends were at my friend's house, and we were watching a little documentary thing on a really, really interesting scripture in the Book of Revelation. And we were going back and forth with each other for like 2.5 hours. Oh my gosh, it was ridiculous. We didn't come in to any like crazy conclusions about what we'd found, but all of us were fired up, because the main point of Revelation that as believers we read is, wow, there's a lot of people that I love that are going to hell, that are going to go through the great tribulation, and when I'm gone, I won't be here to do anything about it. So I can do something about it now, though. I can go out with the anointing and with the Holy Spirit and see somebody saved and see somebody set free. So that's what I was feeling. And I was driving home. It was like, I don't know, like 11:30, 12 in the morning maybe. And I started crying. And I was getting very frustrated with myself. And I was like, God, I sing every week, but I just want you to use me in a different way. I want to see somebody's life actually touch through me. I want it to happen now. It needs to happen now. So I was just going in and I didn't sound any special prayer. I was just pouring my heart out to God. And I heard like inwardly, what time is it? Cool. I heard like inwardly, it was very, very specific and like weird. And you know, when you get those weird specific things, you're like, you're making that up. Everybody knows what I'm saying. Yes. So I heard a very specific voice in my head that says, I was driving past a gas station and the Holy Spirit said to me, there's a woman in that gas station that needs me. The gas station was closed. So I was like, okay, Mackenzie. But I kept driving, and I just felt like that, ugh, like you're being disobedient feeling, like that conviction. And I was just like, you know what? Even if nobody's in there, or even if it's a dude or whatever, at least I'm trying to obey him right now. Like, at least I'm trying. So I turned around, and I got out of the car, and there was a woman in there counting money or whatever. And I didn't know if she was going to think I was trying to rob her or something. I don't know. I just went up, and I knocked on the door. This is so funny. And she came to the door and she was like, yeah, we're closed. Can I help you? I had no idea what to say. I thought there was going to be like a holy moment of like God literally using my lips as his lips and just saying things through me. Nope, it didn't happen. So I was going to say, you know what? God really loves you and he has a plan for your life or whatever. That didn't happen at all. I looked at her and I was like, you ever felt guilty about something? Have you ever felt bad about doing anything? And in my head, I was like, there's no way God can use me right now. I blew it. But like she started breaking down crying and she started telling me about something that she felt really guilty about. And she was like, how did you know? And I was like, well, let me tell ya. I didn't know anything. I was amazed that I thought I had screwed up someone's destiny right in that moment from being so nervous. But God used that, and maybe he was using my lips somehow. I don't know. But the fact of the matter is that you just have to do it. So she did get saved right there. I've talked to her a couple times on Facebook. She hasn't come, but that was like a big old fat seed planted in her spirit. And I'm glad I obeyed in that moment. So after that, I got like really excited and I was like, whoa, it actually happened. So I kept driving and I was like, God, I just want to do one more. I just want to get one more person. So he said, okay, there's someone specific that I want you to find in Walmart. She's going to reject me, but just be obedient. And I was like, no, I don't want to be rejected. It's totally fine. So I went in there and I was walking around super creepy, by the way. I had like a basket with nothing in it, just like looking at people trying to find like the one. Now I realize that God doesn't care who you share the gospel with, as long as his word is getting out there. They could be saved or whatever, but I was like looking for that one, just super creepy. And I found, I don't know how I knew, I just was like, ooh, I bet you she needs Jesus, which may have been judgmental, but it's fine. I was like, I bet you she needs God. So I was sitting there like trying to think about like, oh, how am I going to tell her? And I looked back and she was gone. So I was like, no. So I was looking even faster, like in the aisles. It's like 12:30. I look mad sus. I look crazy. And I finally found her like in the, like near the self-checkout. And I was like, yes. And I went up to her and I was like, I'm going to do better this time. I don't know. And I was like, I looked at her and she was like a little old woman. And, I tapped her on the shoulder and she like went like this at me. She was tiny. So she was like looking up and I was like, I just really want to tell you that God loves you. And she was like, I don't care. And she just like kind of walked away and I was like, whoa, you're right. That didn't feel good for me, but you were right, God. So the basic thing that we're getting at here is sometimes you just have to do it. We like to wait on like a holy moment. You know, have you ever had that, God, give me another sign. If you really want to do this, give me another sign. If you really want me to do this, you're going to send a carrier pigeon with a letter on its little ankle and I'm going to open it up right now and it's going to say, dear Mackenzie, go win this soul. She'll totally cry in your arms and give her life to God and help you in your ministry. Sign God. And that doesn't happen. That doesn't happen ever. It won't. He's not going to give you a sign. The sign is in the Word of God, and it's in the Great Commission. Go out, spread the gospel, get people saved. That's as much sign as we need. And it's very true. I promise, if he used me in those circumstances when I thought I screwed everything up, he will use you. Praise God. Okay. Hallelujah. Mark 16, 15 through 20 says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes is baptized, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those that believe. In my name, they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and see them recover." So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven, sat down at the right hand of God. This is my left hand. It's fine. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. So pastor gives this example. Let's say you buy a brand new Lamborghini. It's red, fast, and you can't wait to get behind the wheel. You drive it off the dealership, take it to the gas station, put high-octane gasoline in it. Is that expensive? Sounds expensive. High-octane. Okay. Drive it into your garage and park it. How crazy would it be if you never drove that car again? It's got all the power it needs. It has all the fuel it needs. But if you don't use it, it's worthless. The more you give, the more you increase. So it is just like learning how to do anything else in life ever. We just have to do it. We have to start somewhere. I'm not saying that God can't do this through you, but it may not happen that you go out and the first person that you lay hands on, you see something crazy like a whole arm grow out of somebody. Maybe it doesn't happen right then. Does that mean that God's word isn't true? No. Does that mean that his miracle working power doesn't work? No. What is your conclusion? I don't know. You just get up and go do it again. And you work it and you work it and you work it. And the more that you pour out, the more God is going to pour on the inside of you. Actually, I was talking to my fiance about this and we were talking about, what's the guy? What's the evangelist's name? He's got the dreads. Is he barefoot? Todd White. Thank you. Yes. Todd White. So, I think Jalen was watching a YouTube video or something, and he told me that Todd White, the first time he laid hands on somebody, nothing happened. And he wanted to see the miracle working power of God so badly. He must have laid his hands on 1,000 people or something before he ever saw one thing happen. And now he's one of the world's greatest known evangelists. He works in the gifts of the words of knowledge and discernment of spirits and stuff. He's crazy like that. And I think he shut a whole grocery store down and laid his hands on 900 people, but he was that hungry to see God move in his life. And this was when he didn't have a microphone. He was just an every single day Christian, hungry to see the power of God move. That sounds exhausting, going through 1,000 people with nothing. And then that's the mindset that you have to have in faith, though. I can go and do it, and not this one, maybe the next one. Not that one, maybe the next one. And let's just say you are believing for something crazy. It doesn't even, what happens if nothing happens? Okay, your faith could still leave a crazy big seed inside that person's spirit. You have no idea what that could do for somebody. Even if nothing does happen, they could be sitting there wow, I can't believe someone noticed me. I can't believe someone actually cared about me enough to come over and pray for me. Even if they act like that lady did in the grocery store, nobody can say that I didn't try. I really did. And she can't go home and say that nobody loves me, because I specifically told her God loves you. And even though she rejected it, that seed is still on the inside of her. And the word says that when the word is sent out, it accomplishes what it's been done to send out. So even if you're intimidating, I don't know if this is going to work. I don't know if that. The word never returns void. Even if you don't see immediately results, it cannot return void. It's impossible. The word is undefeated. Amen. Great. So the more you give, the more you increase. So finally, now that we've gone over the anointing, which is what? Yeah. It is the power, the miracle working power of God, the energy of God. It is connected to the Holy Spirit. Okay. Yes. This is the releasing of the anointing, which is the laying on of hands. According to the book of Hebrews chapter 6, there is a fundamental and foundational principle in the releasing of the anointing. This is called the laying on of hands. Who has ever had hands laid on them before? I'm going to call on somebody random. Jamisha, what was your experience? What is one experience that you remember when someone laid hands on you? Set free from anxiety. Amen. That is the work of the ministry. Amen. That's awesome. Anybody else? Anybody else have something cool happen? Yes. You had your intestine healed? Yes. That is a whole testimony. What did your doctor say? Oh, amen. They were nice doctors. That's awesome. Anybody else? Hands laid on them and something crazy happened? Nope. All right. Praise God. Okay. So this is just the beginning. So learning how to lay hands on and release the presence and power of God through the laying on of hands is just the beginning. The basic understanding of the laying on of hands is to release the anointing that you and I are conduits of the power of God. So when you see pastor lay hands on somebody and somebody like falls out in the spirit, that's the anointing. That is not him. Some people will say this like, oh, he's putting pressure points on his neck. No, he's not. I don't even know if he knows where the pressure points are. He's not pushing people. It is the anointing that is hitting their spirit. And if you've never felt that before, it's kind of cool. You can't really describe it unless it's happened to you. No, you're not weird if you never fall. You're not weird, okay? You don't have to fall. The anointing is not necessarily a feeling. It's just something that happens to your spirit. It can manifest physically like a healing. Yeah, so if you don't necessarily feel anything, you're not weird, I promise. God's heavenly supernatural energy is waiting to be released through us as his conduits to this world. When we lay hands on somebody and release the power of God, it is like turning on that light switch. I'm sure Pastor has told you this story, but I'm going to share it just because I feel like he would at this point. So there's a man named Rod Parsley, and he had a woman working as like a secretary in his office or like an admin or something. And she was typing, and she stopped, and she started going, ooh, ooh. And he came in, and he was like, what's going on? And she was like, it's the anointing. And he was like, then type, woman, type. Why don't you type? And it's not, the anointing isn't there to just feel and give us the EBGBs and for us to keep to ourselves. It's for the work of the ministry. So her ministry was administrative. She was obviously very organized. She knew how to keep things in line. It's a very, very important part of ministry that a lot of people don't know about, but administration is truly an anointing and a gift. So that's what she was anointed for. So he was like, well, woman, do the work of the ministry with it. If you're that overwhelmed, I bet you could get a lot done right now. Amen. All right. Jesus used the principle of laying on of hands on people, amen, to release the power of God. Matthew 8, 14 to 15 says, now when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever. So he touched her hand, there's the anointing, and the fever left her. She arose and then served them. Matthew 8, 3 says, then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Speaking the word is another manner to release the anointing. So we just learned about the laying on of hands. So you can go up to somebody, lay your hands on them, and you can see them be healed, be set free, a peace come over them. Whatever the work of the ministry, whatever God's work in that person's life to do at that moment, that's what you can see with the laying on of hands. The other one is just to speak the word. So Matthew 8, 5 to 10 says, the centurion man came to him and said, my servant is lying at home paralyzed. And Jesus said, I will come and heal him. And the centurion said, no, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak the word and my servant will be healed. So Jesus was like willing to go over and actually lay hands on him. He was like, I'll come to your house. And the centurion said, no, I'm not worthy to have you in my house. But if you just speak the word, I know he's going to be fine. And Jesus said, I've never seen anybody with such great faith. So that's another one. You can speak the literal word of God. And remember, we talked about the fact that when you speak the word of God, it cannot return void. When you speak the word of God over your situation, over your life, over your circumstances, something has to change. It has to. Praise God. So that's another one. Tangible transfer through objects. We've got the laying on of hands. We've got speaking the word. And now we've got tangible transfer through objects. Acts 19:11 through 12 says, "Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them." That's the tangible anointing right there. When you can rub something on you, or somebody can just brush against you and you immediately get healed, that's the tangible power of God that we're talking about right there. Super crazy. So there was an evangelist who was getting ready to preach the word of God, and a woman ran up to him and gave him a piece of candy. This is a really gross story. He looked at her and said, "Thank you very much." And she said, "No, you don't understand. That's not for you. My sister is in an insane asylum." So her sister was caught up in an insane asylum, just, you know, in complete bondage. And she goes up to the evangelist and she was like, "I want you to suck on this piece of candy before you preach and after you preach. And I'm going to take it back to my sister and she's going to suck on it and she's going to be fine." Which, yeah, I won't say that. It's totally fine. So the woman sucked on the piece of candy and she was completely in her right mind and she got released from the asylum. The reason why it was a piece of candy is because the people in the asylum were taking everything away from her but that candy. So that was the only thing. So it was actually pretty smart of her sister to do that. But being not in an insane asylum, I don't know that I would suck on someone else's candy. But praise God. You know, the tangible anointing still works, and I'm not mad at that miracle. Hallelujah. Awesome. So this is one of my least favorite ones, and New York, you will probably get fought for this one. So we have the laying on of hands, speaking the word, transferable through objects like pieces of candy or cloth or whatever. And then there's one that's spitting. Has anyone ever tried to spit on you in church? No? Me either. And I'm pretty sure it's just because, well, one, that's just disgusting. But two, around here, it really might get you knocked out. It really might. Even in a church atmosphere, I'm sorry. I can believe for God to do so many other things than for a man to spit on me. But Jesus used it, and I can't be mad at that one either. So Mark 7:33 to 35 says, "He took him aside from the multitude, put his fingers in his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then looked up to heaven and sighed and said, Ephphatha, E-P-H-P-H-A-T-H-A, amen." And that means be opened. "Immediately his ears were opened and the impediment of his tongue was loosened and he spoke plainly." So that's pretty crazy. Pastor heard of another evangelist that spit on this guy's arm and laid hands on him and he commanded the arm to grow in front of everybody. It grew out. So that might just be one of the mysteries of the gospel. I don't know why the Lord uses spit. I don't know. But if it works and the power of God is being released in that, then hallelujah. I would actually like to see that. I would love to see that. Pastor says in his notes, "I guess if you really need a miracle, it doesn't really matter how you get it as long as you get it." That's true. If you really need something and you have the faith and, you know, somebody spits on you and it happens, I'm going to be right up there praising with you. The other one is the shadow, how people were hoping that Peter would pass by them and that his shadow might fall on them because the anointing on his life was so thick that even his shadow was healing people. Point H says point of contact. There are so many ways to release the anointing. It is that point of contact, the point of faith in the release of the energy of heaven that abides within you. And that point of contact could be any one of the things that we talked about. So we had the laying out of hands. We had speaking the word. That could be your point of contact. Just, nope, healed in Jesus' name. Bam. That's your point of contact. We've got spitting, a shadow, and then transferable objects. Who's heard of Smith Wigglesworth? Smith Wigglesworth is fun. How do you guys know him? Just say it. Say it again. He punched a baby, guys. No, he didn't punch the baby. He literally punted it. He was like, bam, like aimed like a football. He punted a baby off the stage, and the baby was healed. No damage from the kick. That's the anointing. That is God and only God. Yeah. I can't. These... if I saw any of these, y'all would have to take the mic away from me on the stage. I would be backstage laughing so hard. So the Holy Spirit was telling him to do something. He punched a woman in her deteriorating jaw. Amen. He punched another woman in the tumor in her stomach, and it was healed. These stories just make me laugh. This is suspiciously similar to Kenneth Hagin's Tales of the Spirit. This woman was in tormenting pain and approached, his name is Harfouch, Evangelist Harfouch, I don't know. A woman came up to him and tormenting pain, came up for prayer, and her back was deteriorating, and he said, turn around and show me where it is. And he hit her in the back. And the pastor almost went up to him, it says here, and he almost said, don't hit her in the back, she's hurt, but he did it too fast. He was just like, no, psych. And she got healed. Yes, so that says here that there is a knowing that can operate you in this, operate on the inside of you in the spirit. So what does pastor mean by a knowing? That means, Carrie, it's crazy, right? The knowing is basically you have to know the voice of God, okay? You cannot be like me and walk up to somebody and be and do what I did, and then the next day expect to kick a baby off of a stage and watch it get healed, or just uppercut somebody in their already broken jaw. I'm sorry. we have to know the Spirit of God. We have to be like this. I think it's for certain people. Why are you crying? I think it's for certain people with a certain kind of anointing and a certain closeness with God. So, pastor, hear my words. I am not telling your flock to go out and punch people at Walmart. I'm not telling them to punch people in their tumors. I'm not. And I doubt God is either at this point. But if he is, and you know it and you know where, praise God, I want the video. So the notes say, what time do we have? Okay. These are very powerful stories and examples of releasing the anointing of the Holy Spirit. But remember, you must start in elementary school. No one is going to get to the level of baby kicking if we don't go. And I don't necessarily want to be there, honestly. I don't want to deal with angry mamas or angry wives who watch me like punch him in the kidneys and watch him get healed. I don't want to deal with all that. But we do have to start at the elementary, and that is just maybe you're at work one day and the Holy Spirit tells you, hey, that woman looks sad. Go pray for her. You have absolutely no idea what door that could open. We have no idea why that person looks sad. The Holy Spirit does, so we might as well just obey. There could be an opportunity right there for you to lay hands on somebody and see somebody get sick, or pray with somebody and send the word over to a family member and they get healed, or something crazy like that. We have no idea. So we have to start in the small steps and be obedient in the little things that he asks us to do. And then we can get to those levels of increased anointing. But remember, just as the notes said, and just as the word says, is that the more you pour out, the more God can put in. So if we're never releasing that anointing over the unsaved and over people at church and stuff like that, then there won't be any more put in. And then we'll never get to these crazy levels. I think it would be awesome if somebody rubbed something on me and I mailed it to somebody across the country and they picked it up and got healed. That's crazy. And that's not because of anything that I did. That's the power of God. Just so strong on somebody's life, and somebody has to be so submitted. So there you go. That is the anointing and the laying on of hands. If you never start, this is the last part. If you never start, you will never get out of elementary school. You will always be stuck wondering, could God have used me at this point? Or you'll always be driving away like, dang, I knew I should have prayed with that woman in the grocery store. I knew I should have told that woman that Jesus loved her at the bank. I knew I should have. And the conviction that comes with that, because that's not only us being disobedient to God, that's a life that's now not going to be affected because we decided that we were too scared or too nervous or too whatever. You heard how dumb I thought I sounded. You ever felt bad about doing anything? Like, that's the most vague statement anyone's ever made. But God still used that because he's faithful and because he took my obedience and that seed was planted in that woman's life. So I don't want to stay in elementary school. I want to be used by God to touch people's lives. There are so many people out there that don't even know if God exists. They don't have any idea of how much they're loved. And even if nothing crazy happens because we're still in elementary school, we're still planting seeds. And the joy and the high that you get from obeying the Holy Spirit and you're just like, yes, I did God's work. Yes, my Father is happy with me right now. That's worth it right there. So let's start in elementary school if you're there. If you're not, I'm going to catch up to you and make it to middle school or something. But let's start somewhere and watch God increase the anointing in our lives. Amen. Okay, does anybody have any questions or concerns? Yes.
Okay, so we had an online question that says, how do we know what we have been called to do?
How do we know what we've been called to do? That's a good question. So there's a lot of people who will say like, oh, well, if you know you hate it, God's going to call you there. That's probably like not true. God, I believe, likes to start with your passions, right? So something that you're passionate about because he doesn't want you working in an area of life that you're just completely unhappy, you know? There's parts of everybody's job that they don't like, but for the most part, you should be very happy, you know, doing what you're doing. The second thing that you want to look for is your gifts. There is a difference between being anointed and being gifted because that goes hand in hand with the Holy Spirit, you know what I mean? But chances are is that if you're gifted and then you become saved, you'll be anointed to do that thing for God. So now you're not doing it for the world anymore. You're doing it for the kingdom, which is awesome. So that's one way that you can know is where are your giftings and where are your passions. I knew that I was called to worship for at least a good chunk of a season. I'm still just beginning it. But I knew I was called to worship because I would actually get very, very upset at worship here at the church. So I wasn't miserable. Like, I wasn't miserable singing. I feel like I have to have a part in, like, making this different or growing this. And it used to make me upset that I wasn't yet. So it could be just a simple conviction. Maybe some of you, you can, whatever your passion is, if some of you really, really get upset that, you know, there's hurting children in the world, if you get angry at seeing hurting and lost children, you don't hate kids. you hate what's happening to them. So maybe you're called to children's ministry, like seriously, and children's ministry is awesome. So those are a couple things that you can, a couple ways that you know. Yes, Miss Julia. Amen. Can you say that again in the... Oh, okay. So, never mind. So she said we're all called to share the gospel. So what I was doing is what we're all called to do. So even if you feel like you don't have a specific calling of worship leader or pastor or prayer warrior or whatever you're doing right now, God can use you to affect his life or affect lives. It doesn't matter where you work. You could work at a gas station. You could work at a grocery store. You could work in the bank. You could work at a Fortune 500 company. Whatever you're doing right now, you could be doing for the kingdom. And that's where the anointing comes in, right? So yeah, it doesn't have to be like a church calling. A lot of people are not called to work inside of a church. That does not mean that you don't have a call of God on your life. Everybody does. It just depends on where he places you and what he anoints you to do. Amen. Any other questions? OK, Okay, perfect. It is 7:55. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to skedaddle. Oh, perfect. Okay, we're going to take an offering because, yes, Pastor does teach that you never come to the king's house without a gift. So if you guys have an offering, please bring it up to the front over here, and then I'm going to pray, and then we're going to get out of here. Jesus, I just thank you for the word that's been spoken. Lord, I thank you that through this principle of laying out of hands and this new teaching that gets in our heart, that you would increase our boldness to go out and lay hands on the sick and see them recover, that we would lay hands on people with depression and see them put on a garment of praise right in front of us. Jesus, I pray that that as your Holy Spirit teaches us and guides us and convicts us to be more obedient to you, that we would see all of the signs that you said would follow believers, that we would cast out devils, that we would speak with new tongues, that nothing deadly could ever hurt us. And Jesus, you said that you would perform miracles to confirm your word, God. So as we live out your word, as we speak your word, we believe in this room tonight that you are going to confirm the word that is spoken with signs and miracles and wonders. And not for our glory, God, but for yours. We want to see you manifest just to give you praise. We want to see you manifest in people's lives because we want to see people impacted. And you want to see them impacted and come into your kingdom even more than we do. So Lord, convict our hearts of people. Give us people in our minds right now of who we can go share the gospel with. Lord, convict us even when we're in the grocery store of whoever is standing beside us just waiting patiently who needs to hear that you love them or who needs prayer or anything simple like that, God. If we're starting an elementary school, then praise Jesus, we're starting. And God, I pray that as we're diligent to pour out the anointing that you've given us, that you will increase it all the more. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thank you, everybody.